Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our program this morning. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given meeting times of our services. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We also encourage you to look at our website, www.churchatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. This morning, we want to talk about one of the great Bible wonders that we read about in the Bible, and that is the great test of Elijah and the prophets of Baal that is found in 1 Kings chapter 18. During the reign of Ahab and his wife, evil wife Jezebel, Elijah is called to be God's prophet to Israel. The land of Israel was filled with idolatry. This man was one of the original reasons God gave for the Israelites to drive out the inhabitants of the land, because of their idolatrous practices. Elijah is a Tishbite from Gilead, according to Jeremiah 17 and verse 1. He, following Omri, an evil king in his own right, who provoked the Lord to anger, and then his son Ahab ascended to the throne. In 1 Kings 16:28, did Israel get a reprieve? Don't think so. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. 1 Kings 16, verse number 30. He married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonites, and this evil woman established the Phoenician worship of Baal into Israel. She was not content to have it at the local level, but her desire was for the entire nation to worship the god Baal. To accomplish this goal, she tried her best to wipe out from the mind of the people of God his name by destroying the prophets of God in great number. Many fled to the hills and caves to avoid her wrath. Her daughter Athaliah marries the king of Judah and introduced Baal worship into Judah. So the pagan worship was widespread in both Israel and in Judah. For 3 years, God had caused it not to rain on the land because of Ahab's evil and his disobedience to God's covenant and the idolatrous worship of Baal. But now he sends Elijah to tell Ahab that he's going to allow it to rain after the period of 3 years. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, Obadiah, one of the servants of Ahab, meets Elijah, and Elijah tells him to go and present himself to King Ahab and tell him that Elijah is here to see him. Of course, Obadiah is fearful of doing that because Elijah has a price on his head, and he understands and fears God and knows if Elijah is called away, then he will bring his master in. Elijah will not be there, and his master's anger will burn against him, and he may take his life. But Elijah assures him that he's here to talk to Ahab and that he will be there to go get him. And so, when he approaches Elijah, he makes this statement in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 17. And it came about when Ahab saw Elijah that Elijah said to him, "Is this you, O troubler of Israel?" And he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals. Now, then send together me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Ashtoreth, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent a message among the sons of Israel and brought the prophets before Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let us give us 2 oxen, and let them choose 1 ox for themselves, and cut it up, place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. I will prepare the other ox, lay it on the wood, and I will put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answered by fire, He is God. And all the people answered and said, that is a good ideal. And so, here we see the great test in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah brings all the prophets of Baal and all the prophets of the Ashtoreth, along with the children of Israel, to the top of Mount Carmel. And he tells them that they have to make a decision. They're on the horns of a dilemma. They're trying to walk a tightrope. They have to quit hanging between two opinions. He lays it out very clearly to them. If God is the God that you love and serve, you follow him. But if you believe the Baals are God, then you should follow them. You can't have it both ways. You've got to decide who you're going to make your allegiance to. Is it going to be the Baals that have been introduced by Ahab and Jezebel? Or are you going to follow the Lord God? And so, to help them determine what opinion they should go to, he offers a test. He says, let's take two ox and offer them as sacrifice to our gods. We'll cut them up, put them on the wood, lay them on the altar, but put no fire under it. I'll take one, and the prophets of Baal can take one, and we'll call on our God, and the one who answers by fire, he will be God. They agreed that that would be a good test. And so let's read what happens in the test. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourself and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice and no answer. And they leaped upon the altar which they had made. And it came about noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or gone inside, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep, and he needs to be awakened. So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with sword and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And it came about when the midday was past, and they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord which had been torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. So when the stones he had built an altar in the name of the Lord, he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. And he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. Now the water flowed around the altar and also filled the trench with water. And then it came about the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art the God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord thy God, and that thou hast returned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. In this great test, God's prophet Elijah demonstrated that there's only one true and living God. The prophets of Baal had failed miserably in trying to get their God to answer by fire and show that he was God and that the God of Israel was not the God that they should follow. Elijah's proposal caused their idolatry to be exposed. It caused them to understand that there was only one true and living God. God's people understand. And he gives command that they seize the prophets of Baal, and they are taken and they are all put to death. And so now God's people are going to truly follow God and not follow Baal. Well, we wish it were that easy, but sadly, that did not take place. This great lesson on the Mount Carmel was soon forgotten, and they went back to their idolatrous practices, and because of the evil of men like Ahab and his wife Jezebel, the nation of Israel would only last for 205 years before God ultimately destroyed it and put her in Assyrian captivity. But what lessons can we learn from this wonderful lesson? Well, number one, like Elijah, we must be prepared to stand for what is right and what is true. We must be prepared to engage in spiritual conflict with the whole armor of God that God has given us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. Today, we don't face the prophets of Baal. We face humanism, evolution, and denominationalism. They're threats to God and to His people, and we must oppose them no matter how many and no matter what they might say. When serving God, we cannot halt between two opinions. We must serve Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, and Jesus Himself said in Matthew 6, chapter and verse 24, that we cannot serve two masters. And so we must make a decision. You can't have the world and God too. You're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to serve the God of this who created the world, who gave you life, who sent His Son, that you might have everlasting life, that you might have a divine remedy for sin? Or are you going to worship and serve the gods of this world and Satan himself with the adversaries that he sends? You can't be on the horns of a dilemma. You're going to have to make a decision. And finally, faithful servants of God are often charged with causing trouble, division, and problems when they stand for the truth. It happened to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 21 through 24. The ploy of the devil has always been the same. We must not be ashamed to be his servants, and we must not be ashamed to defend the truth and expose the false teacher. Please read Galatians chapter 2, 4 and 5, and Titus 1, verse 9 through 11. Today, we are told by modern brethren that they have a better understanding of what God desires today than we do. And they said that change is good, even if it opposes God's truth. These are nothing more than lying prophets of Baal. They are false prophets. They are those who oppose God's truth, and they must be exposed for what they are. When we look back at the great test on Mount Carmel, we should have great courage like Elijah did to stand against those who were opposing God, leading God's people into spiritual adultery and causing the nation to eventually have to be chastised and destroyed because they ceased following the true and living God. Let us never be ashamed of who we are. Let us never be ashamed of the truth that leads men to life. And let us never be afraid to expose those things that are contrary to God's will. The great prophet Elijah gave a great test on Mount Carmel. The answer was very evident. Any honest person could see that there was only one true and living God. If man will put God to the test today, open up His Word, and study it, and try to understand it, and to follow it, they will understand too that there is only one true and living God. May we always seek to serve Him. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.